Father, thank you for this time now as we look into your word. We thank you for providing your word. Sometimes we just neglect it to our shame, I think, because, Lord, we have your instructions to us, your very word of what we should do and how we should live and a guide to every portion of our life. And too often we set it on the side and we don't read it. We don't even open the covers from week to week. And Lord, I pray that we have a new appreciation this morning, that we renew that vow of following you with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged by the sermon this morning. And Lord, that we would look inwardly and judge ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that you open our ears and our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I started thinking about our belief in Christ. And I remember back when I was a youngster, I prayed probably 100 times to accept Jesus as my Savior because I kept doubting that He was in my heart. And so the question comes up to me and to all of us, and I think we've all asked that question at some time or other in our lives, maybe even recently. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? You know, what does it mean to accept Jesus as your Savior? How do you know that you did, or that you were sincere, or that you are a believer? How do you know? Churches are attended by people who call themselves Christians, and I pray every one of us are true believers, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But there's a lot of people that attend churches today and call themselves Christians, but really, what does it mean? You know, what does it really mean when it comes right down to it? And I'd like us to go to Matthew 14:78 in your pew Bibles, 14:78. Matthew chapter 7. And I want to start in verse 21. And this is Jesus talking, not even an apostle. Jesus himself saying this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now, that's a little scary, isn't it? I mean, when you get right down to it, it's a little scary that you could be saying, "Lord, Lord," and he turn to you and say, "I never knew you." And you know, you have these people here who are standing before God, and they say, "Didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles?" They did things in the name of the Lord, even. I mean, what does it mean to be saved? How do I know I'm saved? Because not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to back up to verse 13 real quick, too, and I want to look at that. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You know, so does that mean that it doesn't matter well, we're going to, there's this narrow gate and only a few are going to get through it. You know, how does this translate and move into salvation? How do we know that we entered through the narrow gate? What is belief in Jesus Christ? Well, I want us to go to Acts chapter 16, 1685 in the Pew Bible, 1685. Acts chapter 16. And way down to verse 30, Paul and Silas are in prison. And they've been praising the Lord and preaching to the prisoners and all other things. And this big earthquake happens. And the doors all open up and the guard is ready to kill himself because, you know, if the prisoners escape, he's going to get worse from the Romans and from the leaders in that day who are in charge of the jail, in charge of the prisoners. They're going to whip him within an inch of his life and probably throw him over the cliff. You know, and so he's just ready to kill himself. And Paul, in verse 28, says, "No, you don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer rushes over to them. In verse 30, he brought them out and asked them this simple question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And so here they believe in Jesus as their Savior. So is that as simple as it is? I mean, it seems like in this day and age, we like to complicate things and we like to make things a little more than what they are. And is it really as simple as just, "I believe in Jesus as my Savior"? Well, yes and no. There's a few more things we need to be aware of. And I want to go to Luke chapter 9 for that answer. Luke is 1578 in the Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 9. 1578, Luke 9, starting in verse 23. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my word, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and in the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So here we have three things that Jesus mentions. He said, deny yourself. You've got to deny yourself. It's not about you, it's about Him. Put Him first. The second thing is take up your cross daily. Well, I don't have a cross at home. I never built one, and nobody ever gave me one. Now I'll probably get a whole bunch of them. But that's not what it's talking about. You see, the cross was an implement of death, and we all know that. Jesus hung on the cross for us. And He became the sacrifice for us. And so by taking up our cross daily, we not only recognize what Jesus did for us, but we also recognize that I need to deny myself. I need to die to myself, all the desires I have, and take up that cross and follow, last part, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. So, He says, want to save your life? You'll lose it. If you want to lose your life, you'll save it on account of Him. So, I thought about this my strange thinking, the way I think of things, is that what? Then we go, in the name of the Lord, I give up my life and stand and jump in front of a truck. Is that giving up your life for the Lord? No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is denying yourself. It's not so much about you, it's about him. And does that mean we drop everything and just go off to some mission field somewhere? Is that what it means? You know, no, I don't believe that's always what it means. There's a lot of things that it means we're going to get into in just a little bit, but there is risk in following Jesus. It's not always comfortable. It sometimes hurts to follow Jesus. It sometimes isn't the best path according to our thinking or the world's thinking. And yet, he says, follow me. Deny yourself. Don't think about the world's philosophy. Don't think about the world's direction. Don't think about anything that the world is telling you. You need to keep your eyes on me and follow me. It's not so bad. You know, we get so hung up in, I've got my goals, my life, my way. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, Scripture is very plain about that. We should say, if the Lord wills, it's not my life. And it's all great to have goals, you know, graduate from high school, get through college, you know, get this job and get promotions and all those things. Those are all great goals to have, but not without the Lord. You know, the Lord should be the first one that we consider and that we consult. And we always look to Him for everything we do. And then daily, you know, he doesn't say take up your cross daily for nothing. He says it daily because that's what we need. We need to daily understand our responsibility and our obligation to Him. And so we take up our cross daily. We give up our lives daily. And we let Him rule our lives. Now, we're not perfect on it. I'm not perfect on it. There are times, you know, where I say, well, I don't care what he wants. I'm going to do this. And I always find when I do that, I get into trouble. When you follow Jesus, you listen to him. So does it mean, you know, quitting your job, walking away from home, go to South America on a missions, wherever they are? Oh, over here. I had to throw that in there. Maybe. Could be. That's possible. You know, when you put yourself in the Lord's hands and you say, Lord, whatever, He may say, you know, I want you to go here. I want you to go there. It's not always the things that we want. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. I want you to go to Romans as we continue. Romans chapter 12, 17:24 in your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 12, 17:24. Looking at verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. All the stuff that we want to know, He's going to show us, but we have to give ourselves up. We got to give ourselves up as a living sacrifice. Now, He doesn't want us to die. And He wants us to live. Why does He want us to live? So that we can share it with others. Offer our bodies so that we follow Him and we know what His will is. So, are we all supposed to go into missions? Well, yes. But not always in another country. You know, the other day, Kathy was talking to a lady and she didn't even know that Romans was in the Bible. We were eating at a restaurant a couple of months ago or so, and we were talking to the manager there, the owner manager or whatever, and we were talking with him, and we mentioned the rapture. He said, what's that? He didn't know what the rapture was. There are people in our own community that do not know this Bible. They've probably never cracked it open. They've heard about it, but nobody's ever said anything to them about it. Nobody said, you know, well, do you know about John 3:16? They probably don't. So, well, I thought in a football game somebody had a sign. I don't know what it was. I don't even know where John is in the Bible. That's where most people are at. We get kids in kids club, and we have to start with the basics because they don't know about Noah. They don't know about Abraham. They don't know about Jonah. They don't know about anybody in the Bible. Nobody's ever taught them. We're at a generation now where there's a gap, and people do not consider the Bible worth picking up and reading. So the mission field is all around us. In this community, of our own community, right here in Crandon and Forest County, we have people who are spiritually ignorant. And God has called us into the mission field. Now, Romans 12, also, if you look at verses 3 through 8, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." You know, the reason why he said that is because I've heard this before when people are looking at jobs to work, you know, and they say, well, you know, we got this job for you. The person is jobless. Doesn't have a job, doesn't have any money, you know, and homeless basically. And a person says, you know, I have this job for you. It's just, you know, it's washing pots and pans, but you know, if you can work your way up to a waiter job or even cook and whatever. And they said, no, you know, that's not something I want to do. What? I mean, when I was in that position where I needed a job, I did anything. I cleaned toilets. I was working in a garage shop with and torture of all tortures. The guy, all he played was jazz music. Now, some of you may like jazz music, but this is like 8 hours, you know, and I'm drilling holes in a part one after the other. Drill, next, drill, next, drill, next. Hundreds of parts just drilling those holes. All day long, because I needed a job. You know, picking and choosing. But it says here, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. When God calls you to do something, you don't say, oh, you know, Lord, I'm not going to get on my hands and knees and clean that floor. I'm sorry, but you got something else. You got a better job than that. You know, if God places you somewhere, if God wants you to serve someone, you do it. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He goes on in verse 4. Just as each of you, or each of us, has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Isn't that interesting? We all belong to each other. That brings up some things I'm not even going to get into. Verse 6, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You see what it's saying here? We all have a gift. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you truly have the Holy Spirit within you, you have a gift. Now, you may not know what that gift is. You know what you got to do? Find out what that gift is. Find out and use it according to the Scriptures. Use that gift. Now, it may be encouraging somebody. So encourage. It may be teaching. So teach. You know, but you all have a gift. It may be prayer. It may be, you know, the computers stuff here at church. It may be the sound ministry. It may be, you know, just as simple as picking up after and straightening out rooms. It may be the nursery. It may be children's church. It may be a multitude of things that you are working at that is your gift. And that's what God wants you to use that gift to build up the body. We're a church. And we need each other. Out there, people need to know the Lord. But when they come into church, they don't need to see disarray. They don't need to see people going, "Oh, I'm not doing that. Get out of here. Go away. Leave me alone. I'm just going to sit here and soak it in." You know, that's all great to come to church and soak it in. You know, get some music, get a sermon, get challenged, you know, and read a few scriptures and all that and soak it all in and feel energized. But we come here to church to be challenged to do something. Do you know what your gift is? We're all called to use it. So if you don't know your gift, there's Bible study, there's reading the Bible on your own, there's prayer, there's church services, there's, you know, even getting together with somebody one-on-one, a deacon or myself or Franz, for discipleship, learning more. You know, there's people overseas that you know, I read this one article about this guy. He went to Russia and he preached a sermon and they wanted more, so he preached another hour, and they wanted more, and he said, I'm tired, I got to go to bed. It was like midnight. So he goes back to his hotel, and all these people gathered around under his window and said, "Please teach us more." I thought, holy moly. If that ever happened here in the United States, preachers would be falling out of the windows. We'd have heart attacks because it would be so amazing. You know, and we all should be desiring to know God's will, God's word, His power within us. This should be a driving force in our life. You know, time is short. I mean, just look around you. You look at the wars and rumors of wars, the wickedness that is so overwhelming, not only in the United States, but in other countries. It is mind-boggling when you start researching it, and very disheartening. Sometimes to the point of, "Oh Lord, when are you coming?" Time is short. He's called us to use what we have, the faith that we have. If you're a believer, James 2:26, it says, "Faith without works is dead." Faith without works is dead. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you're going to do things. You're going to be praying. You're going to be weeping for people in this community. You will be sharing it with others. You know, it's too bad when we stand before God. Will there be people that stand before God and say, "You know, yeah, so-and-so told me all about it, but I refuse to believe it"? That's on them. But will we face a time where somebody's going to stand before God and say, "You know, I lived next door to so-and-so for 20 years and never even knew they went to church. Never knew what they believed"? That would be a travesty. We are called to share the gospel with others. If you're not sharing the gospel, or if you, and I know, yeah, you feel afraid, and it's not comfortable to do it. But you know, Jesus hung on a cross for us, was whipped beyond recognition, and He hung on that cross and died for us. I think the least we can do is be a little uncomfortable when we say to somebody, "Hey, you want to come to church with me?" Do you know anything about the Bible? Would you like to come over and I'd share with you what God has done in my life? I mean, we go to movies and we come home and we're like, man, you got to see this movie. It is the most amazing movie. I mean, when Star Wars first came out, people lined up hours. They camped out in the front of the theater to get the first tickets to see Star Wars. And what are we doing for the Lord? Have you stepped out? Are you using your gift? Do you know your gift? You know, it's time for us to roll up our spiritual sleeves and get busy, to deny ourselves, to follow Jesus, to take up that cross, to let people know, yeah, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. And you know what? It is the best decision I've made in my entire life. And it will be the best decision you've ever made. Would you like to? And if they say no, okay. But are they going to nail you on a cross? I doubt it. Are they going to whip you? Are they going to pull a gun out and shoot you? They might. Nowadays. That might happen. But you know what? So what? If they pull a gun out and shoot you, all of this, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You're in heaven. Their life may be the only thing, the only person that maybe shares with them eternal life is you. You might be the only connection they have to Jesus Christ. Isn't that scary? That's more scary than, Lord, Lord. You know, and so how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're a believer? By doing it. You know, how did I know I was a machinist? Because I went to work and I machined parts. How do I know I'm a preacher? Because I'm here. Right here. You know, so how do you know you're a Christian? Because you're doing it. Because you're living it. It's part of your life. You never can be separated. That's how you know. So I'd like us just to have a word of prayer before we do our final song. Father, we come before you. And I know there are some of us here that are struggling with this. Maybe have felt like, yeah, I believe, but I'm not doing anything for you. I'm not stepping out. I'm not, and I don't want to. Lord, I pray that you would build in us that faith. Lord, if there's one that has not stepped across that line and believed in you and trusted with you and given their lives wholly and completely to you, Lord, I pray right now, at this moment, they pray, Lord Jesus, I've been fooling myself, thinking I believe in you, but really, I believe in myself, and I just use you as a shield or a good luck charm. Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live my life without you in it. And so, I want you to take every part of my life, to make me yours completely, that I would not remain silent, that I will act out my faith, that I will do the things you call me to do, that I will follow you, that I will take up my cross, that I will deny myself and follow you, no matter what. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for us. And I pray now as we sing this last song that we pray it as a prayer as well, or sing it as a prayer, and that we understand and know what these words are actually saying, and that you stand before God your Father and you represent us, You're our mediator. How thankful we are for that. We ask now that you bless us as we sing this last song, and we ask that you would just fill us with your Spirit now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.